Good morning. 7:34 a.m. on November the 19th. Yeah, 19. I actually checked the date today, so I know what day it is. I'm 7:34, so you know I've been schooling back. Dropped the kid, walked a mile. And now I'm starting the second mile. So good morning. 1628. 1628, okay, yep. Probably closer to 16, just because it's, it counts the time I stopped to take the picture, which is really only a few seconds. It's less than a minute, but it's probably more than 30 seconds. I try to cut it down by starting the camera up before I get there, so I really only have to walk up, prop the camera, push the button, wait for it to register, and then I can walk away. So yeah, good timing, 60 minutes. I'm cruising along because I am so anxious to get back to writing. After yesterday, I only got 2,500 words yesterday. It was rather disappointing because I had taken the day off from the walk in order to get that done, and then got tied up in other things and never got a word written until afternoon. And then, even then, it was not very many. I wrote a few more in the evening, but decidedly a disappointing day for me. 78,000 words. We're going to come in around 85,000, I think. The Act 3 started at 75, so the final battle commitment happened then. I'm a chapter into it, and we still have some action to go. I think I've got to change some of it because it's A, it's clunky, B, it's not quite right. I have this set up for Tanith. I need to get some other pieces moved and into place that I don't have. So I have to see how that's going to shake and what constraint it'll put on me in the last little bit. So I'm trying not to plan too much. I'm trying to let the characters tell me, and it's gone really well so far. I had a couple of false starts. The bad guy has so far gotten away, and it's been too easy for him to get away, so I might need to do something about that. But I've got a nice setup, so anyway, so I'm looking forward to it. That's why I'm walking and not talking. It's because I keep thinking about, okay, how does this work again? How does this look? How does this shape up? And now, what can I toss in here at the end for a last minute pineapple? And I think all I have to do is count on greed to delay. I may need to do some tweaking in that last chapter. There are, as I look at it now, there are things that I need in there that'll make this next bit go smoother. So I'll probably have to go back and add a couple of details. It's a gorgeous morning, though. I really didn't want to walk. I'll be honest. I really did not want to walk today. I wanted to go back. I wanted to make my toast and settle in and start grinding. But the reality is, I skipped yesterday. I skipped last Friday. Skipping yesterday didn't really do me any good at all. Skipping today would have been negligible in terms of additional output. So I came to walk because I needed the exercise more than I needed the time. Yeah, there's a lot of clouds here this morning. It was, They're moving in from the west, coming in over the mountains. There's a pretty solid cloud shield that ends, I'm going to say, near the Continental Divide. It ends over the Rockies to behind me. I'm walking east now. And there's a lot of lenticular clouds where the air hits the mountains and bumps up into the atmosphere and then hits a layer above that causes the moisture to, or the wind to flow back down again, and that change in pressure causes condensation. At least that's what I think it is. I don't know for sure. I'm not in my monk pole. I'm not a meteorologist. Monk pole was what I said. And some of the new listeners who've joined me as a result of G+. Monk Pole is a reference to an old TV show, Monk, where he was the defective detective who had OCD and couldn't walk down the street without touching everything that stuck up. So lamp poles, fire hydrants, fence pickets, parking meters. As he walked by them, he'd have to touch them. And usually he'd touch them with just one finger and move on. And one time I was at a conference with a friend of mine, and we were walking down the street. It was one of those places where you have to walk to the hotel and then walk to the conference center and walk back to the hotel. And I knew my friend was a Monk fan. And so on the way back to the hotel one afternoon, I started touching things as we walked by. And it got to be rather a bit of a joke. So it was terrible fun. So when I started walking here and realized that there's this post sticking up in the middle of the sidewalk, it's intended to stop traffic from driving down the double wide sidewalk. It's got two wide concrete instead of the single width concrete that's about 3.5 feet. This one's got 6 feet or more. And people don't like driving on the roads from one corner to another, because in a couple of places, and that's one of them, the way to get 40 feet down the road or 40 feet further along is to drive a half a mile around, and then you can come back and you'll be 40 feet from where you started. So a lot of people will do things like drive over the dirt, through the woods, over people's lawns. There's a lot of people with fences here, and I'm convinced that it has something to do with privacy, because it is a suburban sort of neighborhood with quarter and third acre lots. They're relatively small. I think the city stipulates the smallest lot for the new divisions, like this one is a quarter acre. I happen to have a third of an acre, so it's a little bit bigger, which really all it means is I've got more sidewalk to shovel in the winter and more grass to mow in the summer. Just short-sighted on my part. I should have got a lot where there was 25 feet of frontage, and then that's all I'd have to do is shovel that. But anyway, so yeah, people drive all the time. They drive everywhere. And that post is meant to kind of discourage that sort of activity, because it's smack in the middle. While motorcyclists do travel that street, which isn't a street, at least gives people in cars pause, because it would really not do good things for the underside of a car if you were to run over it. And the only way to get a car through would be to run over it. They even had to install concrete barricades. You know, the construction grade concrete barricades along the property line on the back side of the last house over there, because people were just ignoring the sidewalk and driving over the grass, which was cutting the grass all up and making a mess. So they put in these barricades to keep people from driving there, and of course they had to put in the reflector poles to keep them from driving on the sidewalk, from mistaking the concrete for a street. Which is kind of numb, because the streets here are, they're ridiculously wide. I don't know that I have ever been someplace where the streets were single, you know, single lane, two ways. A common street was this wide. It may be that I've just never been in subdivisions that much in my life, so I'm not really aware of it. And as you get further in, the streets do narrow. They get smaller and smaller, I think, as the developer realized that they were chewing up a lot of real estate with really wide streets. But this main street here, for example, which is 42nd Ave that I am crossing right now, is about 4 lanes wide. And there's a travel lane, and then a 6-foot bike lane, and then an 8-foot, well, probably 6-foot parking lane bordered by a 2-foot concrete gutter to help channel the water to the various drain posts. I thought the gutters were strange. I thought the whole thing was, when we first moved out here, I thought this whole place was strange. The real estate agent warned us about plowing and the lack thereof. And since we've been here, and we've been here almost 20 years now, they are plowing more. Actually, yeah, 20 years this summer. More than that? Can't be more than that. Well, maybe. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, 20 years last summer, maybe. Anyway, we've been here a long time. This is the longest place I've ever lived in my life. And they don't plow, but they plow now a little bit better. Because the amount of snow we get in the winter is usually relatively small. And it usually lasts about a day. And then the strong sunlight shines through the snow cap into the ground and warms the ground enough to melt the snow from the bottom. Which is amusing. It's interesting. It's astonishing how fast snow melts here. But, I mean, we're living in a desert. We're living in a place where there's 350-something days of sun a year. The amount of rainfall annually is measured in about a dozen inches total. And yet we have these wide gutters everywhere. And drains and catch basins. And it's like, really? Why? And real estate agent said, wait till the first rain. And while it's true, we only get a few storms, and most of them are relatively small in terms of rainfall, half an inch, maybe an inch. Ooh, 18 minutes on the back half. I'm just barely pushing along here. Anyway, because it's so flat, the rain collects and gathers and rolls. And before you know it, a half an inch of rain is 6 inches of water in the street in places like my house, which is at the bottom of a hill. And so it's pretty common to need these gutters to help keep the rain from undercutting the tarmac and the tar of the streets to keep them from being torn apart by the rainstorms. It's pretty astonishing. It's an interesting place to live. But 18 minutes on the back half, that means I've gone 2 miles. That means it's time for me to say tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.